Cover smells like poop.
Love Talk Radio.
Jeff, Aaron, Kat, are you ready for this
one? UCR.
Go.
We say and hope we want, give it to you non-stop. And it plays anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Happy Tuesday, everybody. This is your No Rules, Just Mics radio show. We're bringing you the latest and sometimes controversial topics that you want to know about. I am one of your hosts, Topher, laying down the dirt, and I have my co-host Christian with me. Christian, how are you doing?
Hey, Topher, what's going on, man? I'm glad to be here on yet another Thursday of No Rules, Just Mics. We had an eventful week last week, lots of people listening, and A pretty interesting show after us, and I'm sure we will talk about that shortly. But anyway, I'm glad to be here, happy to be talking to everybody. Topher, how you doing, bud?
I am good. I can't complain. And we have Toku who's screening your call, so we're going to want to call in a little bit also because we have some amazing you remember those controversial topics that I was talking about? Well, he's going to be taking your call so we can get you on the air. You had a busy week. I know that you you flew out. You went home. Did you go home?
I did. I went home to. Yeah. How many of you got me?
Yeah, I gotcha.
All right. Sorry, everybody. Yes. Busy weekend. Very quick, unfortunately, but went home to Connecticut. I got to see my family. Went to see my nephew get baptized, which was amazing, you know. That whole thing is amazing. I don't need to get in all the details and get all mushy and everything, but it was great to be home, great to see my family, great to be a part of all of that. Very happy to be back in the Northeast. You know, being down here in the Southeast, it's been warm and muggy, whereas in the Northeast it was, you know, warm but not so humid and gross as it's been down here. So it was nice to see my family, nice to see some good weather, and I had some fun while I was up there. One cool thing that I did do while I was home, I know most people probably don't care about Connecticut, but while I was home, me and the girlfriend, our first stop after we got off the airplane, we got off in JFK. We were driving to the northeast part of Connecticut where my family is from. We decided that we were going to stop in New Haven, Connecticut, which is not too far from New York City, where we flew into. And there's a place called Lewis's Lunch, which is what they call the birthplace of the hamburger. And there's somewhere else, too. I apologize, I didn't do my research. I forget the other place that claims that they're the birthplace of the hamburger. But Lewis's Lunch claims that they are the birthplace. And when you go in there, it's extremely small. There's really not a lot of space. It's very tiny. All they offer is a hamburger. Like, that is literally it. You can buy a hamburger or a cheeseburger, and from there you can buy toppings. So you can have onion. You can have cheese. And that's pretty much it. They literally have no ketchup or no mustard anywhere in this place. They have chips that you can buy. They have soda that you can buy, you know, everything from normal Coke and root beer and stuff. But they also have, like, birch beer and all these old-fashioned sodas and such. But they pride themselves in being very old, and the only thing you can get is, you know, the burger, the cheeseburger, and there really isn't much else to it. But it was interesting to be there. The girlfriend and I each got a cheeseburger, and they cook them in these old machines. You know, there's these machines, not even the appropriate word, these old metal, like, tiny furnace-looking things. And they don't make them anywhere. You can't find them anywhere. They've been at this restaurant. When they break, you know, they have to fix them themselves. There's no one who can fix them for them. But it makes the burgers really juicy, and it was delicious. It was a really fun time to be there.
And for those who aren't interested in the whole meat aspect, we ran into this really cool thing, and I don't know who listens who's been to Hawaii before, but there's something called mochi, I think it's pronounced, M-O-C-H-I, but it's ice cream. And so they have, like, you know, delicious ice cream, whatever flavor it may be, and they put it into, you know, and they cover it in, like, a rice roll, basically. So we tried that, too. So, for instance, I had a blueberry mochi, and it was like a rice, like almost like a sushi roll, like very light, very skinny, very easy to eat. And in the middle was blueberry ice cream, and it was really good. Like, we didn't really know what to expect about it when you first try it. It's kind of strange. But, no, really good ice cream, and then, like, a very soft. Again, it's made out of rice, but, you know, it could pass for, like, a very soft, you know, like a waffle cone or something. But very interesting. Some, you know, I lived in Connecticut all my life until I moved here in 2007 in Charleston, and I neglected some beautiful things that we had there. Lewis's Lunch in New Haven is one of those. So, and then Mochi Ice Cream was another one. Awesome time. Had a great time in Connecticut. And hopefully, Topher, you as well had a great weekend.
Well,
I did have a good weekend. I did. We didn't do anything. We kind of just stayed home over the weekend, which was nice. Just, you know, basic home stuff. We grilled out. We had with my next door neighbor and her boyfriend over. It was a lot of fun. But then
I heard that her next door neighbor is a big plus.
You know, I heard that too.
Yeah. All right. Well, hey, now, I'm just putting that out there.
I do love my next door neighbor. Her name is Kimberly. She's absolutely beautiful. She is really cool chick. I hope she's listening, but I'm pretty sure that she's busy with trying to rule Charleston, and especially the Somerville area, with real estate. But I did a play-by-play on the Billboard Music Awards on Sunday, as the Music Awards kind of progressed, my inebriation also progressed. So by the end of it, I don't think a lot of the words that I tweeted kind of made any sense, but nonetheless, it was a lot of fun. People who are into it have seen it. People who are not into it, I'm paralyzed, so we're never going to talk about that. But it was just a good weekend. This weekend, I have a nice long weekend, which is really nice. We're gonna try to go bicycling and kayaking in Shem Creek, which is right on the outskirts of Charleston, South Carolina, which is just, it's a beautiful
nice.
Place. It's a lot of fun. There's a lot
yeah.
of really cool bars and stuff like that, but it's right on the marsh, for those of you guys who don't know. It's going to be nice. And, of course, Memorial Day, everybody's going to do, you know, the barbecuing and, you know, the burgers and the hot dogs and stuff like that. So I'm very, very excited. I do want to bring it down just a notch real quick. And I want to send No Rules, Just Mike's love and support to everybody in Oklahoma. It's such a terrible, devastating thing. Any money that you guys can donate to the Red Cross or you know, your charity of choice, definitely donate. They need like the basics, toilet paper and laundry detergent, to blankets and pillows, to you know, roof over their heads. So anything you guys can donate, by all means, just donate.
You know,
Topher. Hold on. Sorry.
I don't know if... No, it's okay. Sorry. I don't know. Let me know what you feel and everybody else in the chat and everything. I don't know if it's just because, you know, the age that we live in has the media coverage that it has, and what happened in Oklahoma is completely devastating, and it should be, but... It just seems like there is a lot that has happened lately, whether it's, you know, it's the Boston thing or West Texas with that plant that exploded. Oklahoma now, Canada just, what, yesterday, 2 days ago with the attack that happened on a poor soldier. It just seems like there's a lot going on. It's almost hard to keep up with everything. And, You hit it right on the head. Like, if you can help out monetarily or any other way, please do. It just seems like there's so much that's happening. And growing up.
It does.
I'm sure it's just tough. It really is.
I do want to say there is a YouTube video out there. If I can find it again, I can give it to you guys. But this guy was, I don't think he's an actual storm chaser. I think he's a civvy. Actually caught the beginning of that, the Moore tornado. He actually watched the darn thing form. I mean, this guy gets within, like, a football field of that tornado. I mean, seriously. And
wow. That's crazy.
I'm not even joking. He's driving his car as quick as possible because he ain't wanting to get hit. But God damn, even on video, it's a scary sight. I'll be
absolutely
honest. I mean, it freaked me out, and I love storms. So for me, it's like I want to be a storm chaser soon. But you know, that shit scared the piss out of me. I mean, literally.
Yeah, it's sad. It's sad. But if there's anything you guys can do to help, absolutely. Donate your time, donate money, donate clothes. I mean, anything that you guys have, these people desperately need.
I found the video of that, so I'm pasting the link in the chat room. Yes, it's through Facebook because it was in one of my friends' chats. But seriously, if you guys have not seen this video, go check it out. It is unnerving, to say the least.
Right. I do want to switch gears a little bit. The Boy Scouts of America has lifted their ban on having gay scouts, which I think is just an amazing thing. However, Thomas, the gay scout leader ban still remains. So for me, I think it's being a little bit of bigotry going on. So I don't know, Christian. What are your thoughts?
Well, no, I agree with you. I mean, well, I always wondered that. I mean, I didn't do Boy Scouts. I don't know if Toku, Topher, you, however, anybody who's listening to us did. I was not a part of that Boy Scout. So I don't really know the age as far as, you know, like what is the oldest before you become a Scout Master or whatever. So honestly, like allowing gay Scouts, I don't really know how big of a step that is, because if we're talking about really young people, like, do they really know anyway what they feel about women or men or otherwise? But the thing that always bugged me about Boy Scouts and not allowing gay leaders, gay troop leaders, whatever it is that people were assuming that gay leaders were going to do something inappropriate to the children, and that's just ridiculous. You know, the leaders just have to be upstanding people, people who believe in the values that Boy Scouts teach and what have you. And, you know, it doesn't matter if they're gay or not. If someone's doing something inappropriate, they should not be part of it. But my main point is this. I don't know, and again, maybe you guys know. I don't know if you guys did the whole Boy Scout thing, what the age limit is as far as being a Boy Scout. Because when it comes to small children, allowing gay children in is not really a big step if we're talking about people who are really young and don't really know what sexuality is anyway.
Right.
Do either of you have any idea as far as age limits and things of that such?
I think once you turn 18, you transcend to the Eagle Scout range, and yeah, from there, you know, and honestly, I've never been a Boy Scout, never actually had the want to be. I don't know, it didn't seem all that interesting to me, personally.
Sure. I wanted to, I didn't, for whatever reason. I don't know if it was because I didn't fit in with other boys, I wasn't too sure. I was
I was always different. So I really never got into the whole Boy Scout thing. I was very kind of like to myself. You know, I had my friends at home, and, you know, I was fine. I had friends who were in the Boy Scouts. But it really never, there was never anything that I kind of avidly pursued. Even though I was asked, I was like, no, I don't want to do it for whatever reason. Do I regret it? No, not at all. But I think it's for, I don't think it's for everybody. You know, I definitely think it does.
Right.
It does good things for young men, or for boys, and helps them grow up to be better citizens and better men. And I think a lot of times, and I don't know the statistics on this, but it probably leads to a lot of really good, soldiers that are out there fighting for our country. So I think it's a good thing.
Sure.
I just think it's kind of stupid and a little backwards that, you know, that these scout leaders.
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
You posted on Facebook, you know, I know you on a personal level, obviously, and not everybody does, but you posted yesterday, I think, that yesterday was a very important date to you.
Oh, yeah.
Now, well, you know, talk about that, number one,
mm-hmm.
but also, you know, that date for you was important because of what you decided, but how far before that were you aware of how you felt? Because that also applies to this, you know, this decision that they've made. Like, how young do you really know who you are or what you are?
Right. That's a good question. So for those of you who don't know, and for those of you who kind of speculated, because I know that so many bitches are out there speculating, I am an openly gay man. I've been out
what?
For 12 years.
You're gay?
A little bit.
Shattering bit of news.
yesterday was my 12-year anniversary of actually coming out to my mother, actually. She was the first person that I told. And it was difficult for a little while for her. I didn't think that she understood or wasn't really grasping it. But, you know, it was difficult for she and I to have conversations shortly after I came out. But we're fine now. I mean, my mother is such a great advocate. She's a wonderful woman. She loves Matthew to death. But 12 years ago, I did come out, and it was probably, I don't remember the words that I used, but it was probably the single most difficult thing that I've done in my life so far, and it's probably the best thing that I could have done for myself. I knew that I was different when I was probably about 11 or 10. I didn't know what was different. I just knew that I was different. I wasn't like the other boys. I wasn't chasing after the girls, and I wasn't into football, and I wasn't into baseball, and I wasn't into any of that stuff. And I didn't know why. You know, it's just I thought it was. It just wasn't for me. And as I got older, I realized that none of the boys that were in my class wanted to hang out with me, and I didn't understand that. I didn't, you know, and I'd ask my teacher and I'd ask my mom, and I said, "Mom, why don't the boys want to hang out with me? How come all the girls want to hang out with me?" And it was different, and, you know, they said, "Oh, it's just because you're sensitive, and it's just because you're a nice guy. Some of these kids are just assholes," or whatever, and, you know, I was picked on, and anyway, we're not rehashing any of that stuff, but as I got older, I started to realize, well, you know, all the boys are after the girls, and I'm kind of after the boys. So it kind of clicked then, and I was probably about 13 when I realized that I was actually gay, and then I started dealing with that. I started denying it at first, but then I started actually dealing with it. And I was like, oh, my God, how am I supposed to do this? Now, I'm 30 years old. You know, this is way before Will and Grace. This is way before Kathy Griffin. This is way before Queer Eye for the Straight Guy. This is before all of that stuff. So I really didn't have any gay role models. And the only gay role models that I had are all Asian tested and were into drugs. And, you know, they weren't they weren't anybody that you wanted to idolize, aside from Elton John, but Elton John was in a class on his own. So, you know, it was just about trying to find out who you were all alone. You know, it's like it's trying to learn English in a Spanish-speaking country. It doesn't work. It takes a long time for you to figure it out. But I finally did, and I was, I think I was about 8, I was 17 when I came to the decision that all right, this is who I am, now I need to decide what kind of life I want to live. And right after high school, I told my mom, and it's been the best thing I think I've ever done for myself. So, you know, when I hear kids getting bullied and, you know, things like that, I feel sad because I know where they've been. But I also know where they can go and what they can achieve if they stick to what's true, if they stick to what they know, if they find people who love them and who respect them and who care for them. There's a lot of people out there that care for, that will love you for being yourself. And my Facebook post is probably a testament to that. I have a lot of people that love me. I know that. My family, my friends, my husband, all you fans, I have people that love me. And you know, my heart is full because of you guys. I couldn't be who I am today, and I couldn't do what I do without having every single one of you in my life, which is just, it's such a blessing. It's such an amazing gift to be able to do what I do every day. I want
you.
If there's any words of comfort that I have, is just always stay true to yourself. Never ever give up, and know that it does get better. Know that there is a light at the other side of this tunnel. Whether no matter how dark or scary or alone you feel, it will get better. It will get better. You have to hang in there because there are so many amazing gifts that this world has to offer. Offer you, and for somebody so young, you know, some of the middle school kids, or you know, gay kids are coming out, you know, earlier and earlier in life. Just hang in there, you know, be true to yourself, do you, and when you get older, when you look back on it, you'll say, you know what, I'm a stronger person because of it. I'm a stronger person because I stayed true to myself, and I didn't let anybody get me there.
I agree 100% with that. I just kind of myself want to tell you that, you know, it's been great to get to know you on as a member of Uncensored, and it's been great to talk with you when we're in pre-show and stuff. You're actually one of the kind of people that, you know, You treat everyone with respect and dignity, even if they aren't of the same belief structure or anything like that. You know, and that's the type of people I like to associate myself with, you know? Like, our show, my AMC, we do the same thing. We don't care who you are, what you're about, you know? I don't care. But the fact is, you do the same thing, and that's something that I think a lot of people need to look at and understand, that there aren't a lot of people out there that do that all the time. You know what I mean?
Right.
And
absolutely.
To be a part of a group like this that actively supports everyone is great.
Absolutely. No doubt about it. And, that's what's great about Uncensored Radio. There's a lot of great people who listen to it, a lot of great hosts, you know, Karen and Jeff and Jake Penland and just great people.
Katrina.
Yeah, everybody's awesome. And then everybody who's listening to us today, I know we have a little, just a smidge less people than we had last week when Karen had her big announcement. But we greatly appreciate everybody who's here. iShine fam, we see you every week. Thank you so much. Jennifer Mulholland, we see you quite a bit. Thank you so much. There's a Chris Burson. I don't know who you are. I guess you're okay. I don't.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Let's talk about this whole big, the reaction to Karen's big announcement. Let's talk about that real quick.
Yeah.
Crazy. It went crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
crazy.
The listeners, I think we had it was upwards of like 600 listeners.
That's crazy.
Show. And we made international news. We made TMZ.com. Ray Hilton actually did a big thing on it, on Karen and, of course, David Yost and that whole big thing. We just blew up. And I think that's so amazing. You know, who would have thought? Who would have thought that people were still interested, you know, in the Power Rangers? For me, it was a big thing because it's like, for those of you who are Ranger fans, we're kind of like a close-knit community. You know, it's kind of almost like everybody knows your name type of thing. So for something like this to kind of make international news was huge. Like, I got a phone call from Jeff and James. And I was like, are you serious? Oh, my God, I have to take a look. So I immediately went on TMZ.com, and I saw the article. And I think it was like a day or two later, Bryce Hilton tweeted about it. So I just think that was – I thought that was really cool. So, we're going
to
have
– say.
Uh-huh.
I also want to say I'm actually an active member of a couple Power Ranger message boards, including rangerboard.com. And when Karen did her announcements both times, the board blew up. We have on the board, there's a whole thread called Power Rangers Mega Force General Discussion. Because of Karen and everyone who's been putting so much press into the fact that, you know, these cameos were coming and stuff, we went through the whole thread limit, which is like, I don't know, 6,000 posts per thread in
right.
3 weeks, one day.
Yeah, it's crazy. You guys can listen to more of Karen Ashley and her rants, and that girl can rant. They're coming up right after us. I do have a big topic that I do want to talk about. I want everybody's opinion, so I want you to pick up your phones, and you can call 323-417-6705. I posted this earlier in the week, and I got a couple of really good responses. I just want to know what everybody else's thoughts are. After a big separation or a big divorce, do you think it's a good idea to have casual sex? Do you think that it's appropriate? Do you think there's a time limit? Do you think that you should air your sheets out first? What are everybody's thoughts? Christian, what are your thoughts, buddy?
Well. I have never been married. Let's put that out there, first of all. I don't necessarily understand everything that goes with being married and what may happen if it falls apart and such. I have been in long-term relationships, and I have also been in a short-term relationship. And
what was your shortest
very
relationship?
Short. I've had very short relationships. Well, like, you know,
that make relationship short,
If we skip, like, you know, middle school, elementary school, where you had those, like, two-hour relationships or what have you. I've had relationships that have been less than a month, you know, a month and a little bit, whatever. casual sex is absolutely, in my opinion, 100% okay, as long as you and the other person are in the same boat. If you are doing it straight out of revenge, you know, that can be okay, but if you also become attached to that person, then that's a problem. But if both parties are involved just because, hey, we're having sex, this is what we're doing tonight, and that is what it is, then that's fine. No doubt about it. I have zero problem with it. I think it's a great thing. And it's a very cool way for people to feel good about themselves. But if one of the parties is having sex and they want to be with the other party or there's some other feeling outside of just that night, then there's a problem. But having been in relationships, short or long, breaking up and then having sex, the having sex after always made you feel better about yourself. Well, almost always made you feel better about yourself, and it gave you some confidence that you needed. However, if you were looking for something more and the other person was not, or vice versa, it can become a mess big time. So, no, I have no problem with it at all. I think it's a very good thing for most people. But every person is different. Some people can't just have casual sex. And some people can't have it soon after a breakup without, you know, reminding themselves of their ex or getting attached to the new person. So it's different for every person for sure. But as long as everybody's on the same page, go for it, love it, let's do it, let's do it right now.
You know, I can agree with you. I definitely think that it's an okay thing to do, especially like in a long-term relationship. I definitely feel like there should be a time frame. You obviously cared about this person. They meant something
right.
to you if you were in a relationship with them for an extended period of time. And for an extended period of time, I'm saying 2 or more years. I would call an extended period of time. That's a long-term relationship.
Yeah.
Because they got to know you, you were able to break down their walls, they your walls. There was a lot of intimacy, not only physical but also kind of emotional and psychological. And you know, there's something for me very special about that. So when you break up, yeah, that person's gone. And I probably have to do with like the dynamics of how you guys are no longer together. If it was like an amicable split or cheating on you or you were cheating on them, whatever. I still think that there should be a period of time that you just kind of air your sheets out. You just kind of just not be, because I think what will end up happening is any kind of repercussions, and I like to call it aftermath breakup, will end up
screwing it
over in the long run, because you're going to, I think, for most people who are wanting to sleep around, they're trying to fulfill some void, and they're trying to gain control over it. Maybe the person that you're into wants that. Maybe they're like, all right, you know, this is good. They just want sex. I just want sex. Let's just have sex. Let's do it. But it gets kind of muddy when you have like a recurring role with the same person, because then it's almost like a relationship without having a relationship. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, it does. Now, here's the other thing. Burson in the chat room, you know, he's talking about sex with an ex is never a good thing. Now, I didn't take this question as you break up or you get divorced or you have problems or whatever, that you have sex with your ex. I was taking it as your relationship is over with whoever, and you're moving on to somebody else.
Right.
I don't know what you were taking it as, Tover, but he makes a good point, which is casual sex with an ex really doesn't work out, and I agree with that. You know, I was there long ago with breaking up with people and then going back with them. It might be good in the moment, but in the long term, no. But I was taking it as you break up and you move on to someone else.
Right, I agree. It's not for a long-term thing. I think it's not a good idea. Or maybe no. I'm going to rescind what I just said. I think, right away, I don't think it's a good idea. But I mean, hell, who knows you better than your partner, than the person who you broke up with? I mean, it was obviously good. I mean, if you guys lasted for a year or longer, it was obviously good. Otherwise, you wouldn't have made it past month one. So, I mean, I think, even still, you know what? We may not be in a relationship, but the sex is good. So, you know what? I'll see you over at my place at 7, and you'll be out by 9. I think that's actually a doable thing. I think, I don't know if you can get down with that for a long time.
I don't know. I think it's easier with a random, you know?
It's actually dependent on you and the other person, because I know, for me at least, there's an ex that no matter how much I want to gain back with the person for any length of time for any reason, it's just a disaster waiting to happen. And then some. We're talking
right. And
it's not for everybody. Disaster, you know,
right.
But
it's certainly not for everybody.
Cool.
Right, I agree. And with that said, I mean,
do you feel comfortable doing one-night stands? If somebody needed a bar, there's no strings attached, they don't need to know your personal story, they don't know why you're, you know, trolloping around. I mean, do you feel that that's okay?
All depends on the person, I think.
Did we lost Christian? Did we lose him?
No, I'm here. I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. I didn't hear the end. What did you say?
Oh. Pay attention.
I was saying that, but it cut out.
Do you feel that, you know, if you, you know, we're talking about people who we know, you know, for casual sex. What about one-night stands? I mean, you go into a bar, you meet, you know, this really, really hot so-and-so. You know, do you feel like that's a good thing? No strings attached. They don't need to know your personal business. They don't need to know that you know, that you're recently out of a long-term relationship. No conversation. Just, you know, just do it. Do you feel like,
yeah,
what are your thoughts
well,
on that
I mean,
right
yeah.
after a breakup?
Yeah, no, I'm fine with that completely. but it also, well, it depends, though. Like, you know, if you're the person who's out of the breakup, then you're the one who, I mean, obviously the other person has no clue what your background story is or whatever. You know,
right.
So going into the situation you just mentioned, the other person has no clue. So if there's a random hookup, I mean, they're clearly, you can't worry about the other person. Because they're not thinking about long term. If you just get into bed with someone or whatever. But for yourself, for me, I've never really had a problem with breaking up with someone and then something else happening. Now, that something else happening doesn't necessarily mean that it was great. It doesn't mean that you were happy afterwards. It doesn't mean that things are solved.
Right.
But I've never broken up with someone, hooked up with somebody else, and been like, oh, my God, that was the worst decision I've ever made. Because it wasn't. You're single. Who cares, you know, like, whatever.
Right.
You know, the only times I've ever regretted things were when I was actually with somebody and cheated on them or was into somebody else, whether we were together or not, you know, and decided, I'm not with this person and did something else. But if I'm single, I'm broken up with somebody else. No, it does not bother me. It doesn't matter how terrible the hookup was. It doesn't matter any of that crap. That's just how I am.
Christian.
So,
okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. You know, you were saying something about you wouldn't regret it. Well, I know one way you could regret it for damn sure. Get a disease of some sort.
No, you gotta wrap it. You gotta be safe. Everybody practice safe.
Yeah, well,
do it in the ear.
Yes.
You're good. Only kidding. Totally, only kidding.
I'm just making a valid point, you know?
Oh,
it's
absolutely
not meant to be disgusting. It's serious. That's about the only way you'd regret it if you're really needing it.
Absolutely.
See,
I can't do
one night stands, and here's why. I was brought up Roman Catholic, so everything that I do that I feel like I could have been better, I usually feel guilty about. So I try not to do anything that makes me feel guilty about something. I try to just not do that. Not Roman Catholic anymore. I'm not practicing. But it's still kind of, it's one of those things where I think your better judgment gets the best. My better judgment gets the best of me, and it's just one of the things where it's like, I don't like this. But, like, even when I met Matthew, it was probably about a month before any intimacy really happened. I mean, I really have to kind of be into somebody before I give it up. I mean, there's way too many risks. And two, I don't want to be into it with somebody if I don't feel like they're the right person, you know? I don't know. If please let this never ever happen, but if Matthew and I ever do separate, it'll probably be a very, very long time before I hop in the bed with anybody else. I mean,
you know, all jokes aside, and you know, that's really kind of what it points to, is that I don't think that I could really be intimate with somebody else, because I remember just, you know, the type of intimacy that we had, that Matthew and I had together, and I know that there isn't any one night stand out there, I don't care who the hell you are, that's going to fill that. So that's my two cents.
Like, Jennifer just made a point in the chat room. Is the dog calling you a liar right now?
Willow?
Yeah.
That's going to be on the side of the road. She's trying to tell some stories on me. No, she's being insufferable right now. She didn't get a long enough walk. Anyway. Moving on. I thought that was a really interesting conversation. I was talking to somebody about it, and they're like, oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's not a big deal. you know, the whole divorce thing, I honestly think most divorces end because there was infidelity to start with. So I mean, the whole divorce thing, I don't think really kind of counts, but it's when you're in a long-term loving relationship and then it just kind of ends. But anyway. All right, Christian, you posted on all of our social media sites, is it okay to hate an 8-year-old?
Yes. I don't know if it's true age, but I feel like he might be 8 years old. But let's explain the situation for those who don't know. So, it doesn't really matter what day it was. The point is, I was off. I didn't have to work. My girlfriend also was off. Yeah, so we had a rare day off together, number one, but we didn't have to get up at a certain time. So we were sleeping, everything was great. I hear my doorbell rings, my dog starts barking, and then there's like frantic like doorbell, just like over and over and over and over and over. And the only time this has happened was when a friend of ours, my girlfriend was going to get up and go out with them to, like, a yard sale or something. I don't know. They were just being stupid and being annoying because we were being lazy and not getting up. So I'm, like, super confused, no idea what's going on. I go downstairs, I open the door, and there's two kids outside. There's a boy, I don't know, maybe 8 years old. He's on a bike and he's looking at me, and there's a girl also on a bike also looking at me. I open the door, the boy looks at me, and then just kind of like turns and starts to leave. And the girl says, I'm sorry, he's just mad, or something like that. Like, I'm half asleep, I have no idea what she says, but that's what I vaguely remember. And I was like, oh, okay, he's mad, all right, whatever. And so they leave. And I'm super confused, you know, like someone was just ringing my bell, and I'm like, you know what? It was probably just some kids, like, before school, you know, they didn't realize that me and my girlfriend lived here. Like, we have a garage, our car's in the garage, so maybe they didn't know anybody was home. Like, whatever, kids are just kids, no big deal. So I go upstairs, I go back to bed. Like, 10 minutes later, my doorbell rings again. We wake up, and I'm thinking, you know what, it's probably this kid's dad or mom. They're probably here to say, hey, we're sorry about our kid. I come downstairs, I open the door, it's a freaking kid again. He's still on his bike. I open the door, he looks at me, doesn't say a word again, just looks at me, turns around, and bikes away.
Are you serious?
Serious. So I open the door, I look at this kid, I'm like, bud, you need to stop ringing my doorbell. And, you know, I say this as the kid looks at me and just turns away. He says no word to me. Nothing. And just he bikes away. Doesn't look back at me at all. He just leaves. He just bikes down the street. He goes up another driveway in between some cars, so I can't tell if he, like, rings at that doorbell or, you know, so I'm like, you know what, screw this. I sit outside. I'm like, I'm just going to watch this kid. And I'm watching him. He goes up some driveway. He comes down a driveway. He goes up another driveway. I have no clue what is going on with this kid. Eventually, I see an older guy, presumably his dad, comes down the street, meets up with him, says something to him, and they bike down our street, and they go towards the school that's, you know, close by to our home. But the bottom line is, this kid has rang my doorbell twice, and each time I've opened the door, he's looked at me, like, eye to eye, and just turned away, and just drove away. Doesn't say a word to me, doesn't explain anything, doesn't apologize, just leaves. So, I don't know what to do about this. Now, as far as I know, he didn't do anything today. You know, I got up pretty early because I actually had to work today. But what am I supposed to do? It's like an 8-year-old kid, and any kind of, like, revenge that I've thought of, I feel like I'm going to turn out to look like the bad person here, and the parents are just going to get mad at me, and I'm going to look like a jerk. What the hell am I supposed to do? What would you do? Is it wrong to plot revenge against some, like, 8-year-olds?
You
want to
know what I
would
do?
Please.
Oh, God, you really want to hear what I do? I'm kind of the vindictive one.
Hey, we have rules. Just be nice.
No rules.
Nothing too uncensored. That's not the show.
No, I'd probably be the smartass to connect to my doorbell a little 9-volt battery.
Yeah,
so, and like. You know, 9-volt battery shock wouldn't be harmful, but it'd be enough to get his attention. Like, what the fuck?
See, I agree with you. I would handle it differently. I would follow that kid. I would put on my flip-flops, and I would follow this kid. Because apparently he's not going to listen to you. So I would just follow him wherever he went. If you're going to be creepy to me, I'm going to make this uncomfortable for everybody. I'm going to just follow you. Although I might have a little blue dot over my house by the end of the day, but I would have made my point. I would have given him distance. I would have found his home, and I wouldn't have ring the doorbell because I feel ringing the doorbell is very impersonal. I think that's like very Jehovah's Witness.
Right, right.
And no offense to Jehovah's Witnesses.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are one, that's you. That's you. But I would knock on the door. Because I feel there's a little intimacy there, I'm going to knock on your door, and I'm going to say, if you do not tell your creepy kid to stop ringing my doorbell, we're going to have a problem.
That's the other thing. Like,
and then I'm going
creepy.
To turn around, and I'm going to walk away. Yeah, I can
make like,
things
like
just
what Chris
as much as 8-year-olds.
I like what Chris said in the chat room. He says, invest in an air horn.
But yeah, that's what I said, too. I told my girlfriend, I just want to scare him. Like, I just want to sit outside and scare him. And she said, no, that's not going to do. We need to yell at him. We need to get his parents involved. I said, no, I don't think that's going to do it. This kid does not care.
Now let's, do you have a sign in your neighborhood? It's like a yellow, I guess it's like a diamond sign that has, it said, slow kids at play.
No.
Okay. Do you have a sign that says deaf children at play?
No, we don't.
Okay. Then there's no excuse. The kid was just being creepy. I was trying to find, trying to find the light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe he has some autism. Maybe he has something else going on. Maybe
what
he was
I'm
deaf.
About
and,
that
I don't know.
He's one of those kids that's going to, like, snap when he's, like, 6 years older, and he's going to come shoot up the neighborhood, so I don't want to make him mad, so I'm stuck here. Like, I want to, like, teach this kid a lesson, but I'm afraid he's one of those crazy kids who's going to come shoot up here.
That's terrible. That is awful.
It's terrible, but true.
It
could
might
be worse.
How could it be worse?
Oh, let's see. It could be one of those kids that would have been raised by, like, members of the Taliban.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry.
Oh, my God.
But it's the truth. Anyway,
yeah,
are you guys wanting to... Are you guys wanting a trending report tonight?
Let's do some Twitter.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, let's do the Twitter trending report.
Let's do it.
Oh, God. We should start our own little Twitter trending report, # creepy kids, and kind of see what happens.
I know, right?
So those of you guys who do not know what the Twitter trending report is in your area or the United States or whatever country that you guys are in, on Twitter, twitter.com, you guys can find me. I just can't talk all of a sudden. I'm at itofer2. Christian is SENG225. And Toki's going to have to tell you his because I still can't remember it. It's very, very long.
at UCR_AMC_Toku.
Okay. Type
you'll
that
learn
in.
It.
And then you can also follow us, which is at No Rules Just Mike. But in the trending area, it kind of tells you it's like hashtag whatever it is. There are a couple that I thought that were pretty interesting. One of them it says tweet like the opposite gender. So if you're going to, for us guys, you, I don't know how you would type like a girl. Like, would you use the word like after every other word, or would you start the sentences with like, or like, how do you type chewing gum? I don't know. I'm just saying. Or some kind of I love Justin Bieber reference or team Twilight something. Maybe it
depends
on the opposite gender as well.
I saw one too, and that was awkward situations. Hashtag awkward situations.
I have an awkward situation.
Go for it.
So I'm at work, and those of you who know me, I deal with eyes. I do. I work in a MI clinic. I'm at work, I put a patient in a room, I go to grab something, and when I come back, his finger is jammed up to his middle knuckle up his nose. Then proceeds to pull it out. No lie. His finger was up to his knuckle in his nose. And then he pulls it out. I'm standing there. He's not saying anything. This has become a very awkward moment. Do I leave? Do I hand him a tissue? What do I say? What do I do? The only thing that I could say is, do you need some hand sanitizer? To which he replied, no, I'm good. He said, no, I'm good. It was
I'm sorry, but I wouldn't hand him one.
It's things like that. I don't shake people's hands. I do not shake people's hands. I try really, really, really hard not to shake people's hands because had I have waited 2 or 3 seconds later, his finger probably would have been out of there. He probably would have heard a suction cup pop because it was way up there, and I would have never known. I walked in at the perfect time. It's like, I am never shaking your hand, ever. God, it was awful. It made for a very, very uncomfortable exam, and I just started his exam. And I went to go grab a piece of equipment, and I turned around, and right up there it was. It was just right up there. Do you have an awkward story? Christian?
Me? No, not like that. I mean, I don't work in a field that you work with. That's, wow.
You worked in the cell phone industry. I'm pretty sure you saw some awkward photos when I spin a lot my screen.
Right. No, that's true. We did have customers who would come in, and whether they said something or not, some wouldn't say anything. Others would be straightforward and be like, oh, hey, you know, I'm having whatever problem with my phone. But just so you know, my background picture is inappropriate. He's like, ugh, okay. You take their phone and their background picture would be like someone's vagina just staring you in the face. Or you know, someone's penis just hanging out. So I mean there was those situations and there were some people who didn't say anything. And either I'm assuming they just didn't realize that we were going to see their screen or just didn't think about it. But there were some who would just outright say, like, hey, just so you know, there's going to be a naked chick on my screen. And you'd be like, oh, okay. there were those awkward moments. And, you know, and the sad thing is, generally the people who have naked people on their screens are not people that you want to see naked, nor are the people hooking up with those people are people that you want to see naked. So it's usually pretty gross. So, yeah, I've definitely had those
awkward situation. But more
like,
awkward,
did I say anything to you? Like, once you like, you're like, oh, okay, your phone. I think I got your phone open. And you go, oh. Do they say, oh,
well,
I'm very sorry about that, or do you try to make
no,
a joke?
No,
like, is that
no,
it? Is there a rest on the other screen, or like, what kind of? I would have to make a joke.
We got pretty good about hiding it. You know, like someone hand you a phone, you're like, all right, I'll take a look at it. And you like flip it open, there's like a naked person. And you're like, oh boy. But everybody was pretty good about not saying anything out loud and just like moving on. It got awkward
right.
when either the customer would say something to you, like, hey, check out my screen. And you're like, okay, this is weird. Or when like a parent came in. And they were like, hey, I don't understand why my kid has $6 of charges. And you'd look at the bill, and you'd find out that their kid downloaded, like, Hot Babe wallpaper or whatever. So you have to explain to the parents that, oh, hey, little Johnny, who you thought was asleep at 10 o'clock at night, has been downloading Hot Sexy Babes in Bikinis. You know, that's when it got awkward, because you would try to be like, oh, well, one of your lines downloaded something, and you would just hope that they'd be like, oh, okay. But they'd always be like, oh, well, what did they download? And you're like, oh, just some program, and that's when it got awkward. That's when I was really bad.
Oh, no. That's
yeah,
terrible.
because one, it was awkward anyway, but you also felt bad for the kid, you know, because, hey, if I was, like, 12 years old and cell phones were what they are now back then, yeah, I'd be looking up some Hot Babes, you know, what the hell? and I would want my parents to find out. So you feel bad for the kid because you're like, hey, I totally understand. I want to look at Hot Babes, too.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Kids are smarter today. They know better. They know better. And you know your mom,
know.
And it's usually the mom that's the one that has the problem, and it's usually the mom that
yeah,
brings
exactly.
the phone in. She's the one with the bill. What is
yeah.
for me, and I tell you what, all the moms out there, you don't let shit go. There is no, oh, okay, well, what was it? What program? When was it downloaded? How much was it? Who was it? Can you tell me what line?
Like,
they all of a sudden become the best CSI agent ever, and I don't understand that. I don't get
no,
it. I don't get it.
Moms always the best CIA agent ever. That hasn't changed. Moms, females in general, have always been that way. That is no different from the beginning of time till now.
Right.
For females, are the best secret agents there are.
Yeah.
Guys?
Yeah. Yes.
For me personally, there was one computer I was working on. Oh, God. When I turned it on, someone had reprogrammed the desktop to show a rotation of porn clips from, like, a Gonzo page or something, and it's just like, yeah, the desktop picture was always playing videos.
Oh, no.
Always. Yeah. Yeah, when you fix computers, you get that occasionally, and it's just kind of,
I bet you do. I think that's why people lock their screen. But if you're going to lock your screen, draw on the back of your hand or make a map of some place where you can put down the shape of which you drew or the code that you entered so you can remember how to unlock your screen because it's kind of uncomfortable for everybody. All right,
yeah,
we're down to our last minute. Our last minute. I think it was a really good show. What did you guys think?
I've had better.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet your girlfriend
did
that.
That was good.
Oh,
it was good.
I got you, motherfucker.
Oh,
all
right.
No, it was a good show. And we appreciate everybody listening, as always. iShine fans, Burson, Jen, Muhammad, or Muhammad. I'm just making up shit now. Jennifer Muhammad. Who's been in the chat. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.
Oh my
I want
God.
To say thank
All
you
right,
to my
God.
Friend that's in the screening room, too, so.
Well, awesome. All right, guys. Everybody have a great night. And, you guys have to stay tuned for the new, oh my God, I can't think. Your Guilty Pleasures. They're coming
pleasure.
On in just a second. Yes, listen to your Guilty Pleasures.
Yes.
Have a great night, everybody.
Yep.
Bye, y'all. Have a good night. Bye.
Jeff, Karen, Kat, are you ready for this?
You
go.
We're saying what we want, give it to you non-stop, and it's late anytime, not afraid to speak our mind. Let's just go everywhere, we never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio, and we are so excited to be with you tonight. It's such a great day.
Mm-hmm.
I know I had a great day. And guess who made it in just the nick of time? Mr. Jeffrey Emmett's in the house.
Don't you worry, boo-boo. I got discovered, okay?
You were about to get
mm-hmm.
hate text for me. I was going to text you up, you know?
I love that. Like, what was it, like 3 weeks that we've done this? You've been showing up like 20 minutes in. I don't even text you. I just go. And you're going to be texting me exactly
yeah.
on the dot. Where are you?
Exactly. Exactly. On the dot. Where are you? But
craziness.
You know who was here and you know who has my back all the time? Mr. Jamesy is in the house. Hello, Jamesy.
Hello. How are we doing today, everybody?
Fabulous. Fabulous. Jeff,
you're fabulous.
Yeah, I'm fabulous. I just feel great. My legs are so sore from working out. Like, I can't even walk up or downstairs. Like,
okay.
It is pain, honey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You make me want to go eat some more Doritos.
See? See how he does me? See how he does me? It's a travesty. It's a travesty what I deal with.
I like it, though.
I
like
right?
it though.
Girl, this is the problem. You know, I really want to lose weight, but I really like to eat.
Yeah, see.
It's a problem.
See, it is a problem because, you know, the key to losing weight is 95% of it is diet. It's all about the food,
no.
and then
see?
Working out polishes the body.
I think that's my issue.
Ooh.
I think I'd actually
mm-hmm.
be okay if I just worked out. I probably could eat the way I eat and not have an issue because, you know, when I was skinny, I didn't really change my diet so much. I actually had subs every day and fried food and drank a lot.
How old were you, though?
Yeah. Well, the thing is, though, I was fat before that, but
mm-hmm.
I was also had two jobs where I ran my ass off. So I'm like,
right.
Mama needs to just get a job where he runs his ass off.
Right. Well, I mean,
right.
the thing is it's. I think for a man, it's a little different because men lose weight so fast. Like, the reality is you're absolutely right. You probably could work out, you know, a few days a week, and it would probably change your whole life.
Well,
women,
I'm so fat. I don't think it has, no. I think I got the metabolism of a woman. I'm with you.
Well, then that's what I say. Diet, then if that's the case, diet is everything. Like it's,
I'm telling you. You know that weight loss commercial? I'm sorry. I keep interrupting you. I'm an asshole.
I know.
I apologize.
Carry
on.
You should be. I know. It's
okay.
The mouth of the Northeast. What can I say?
Mm-hmm.
To the mouth of the South, I'm the Northeastern. That commercial, that commercial, you know, where the cartoon characters are the guy and the girl, and she's like, he stopped drinking soda and lost 10 pounds. That's me.
Yes.
If that bitch stops drinking soda, and he lost 10 pounds.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I go on a vegetable
just,
and chicken diet. And don't lose
nothing. Well, Joe works out, though, right? Like, Joe is very active. So
no, this
difference.
Is when he wasn't working out.
Oh,
like, he just stopped drinking soda and the bitch dropped 10 pounds. I wanted to strangle him and sleep a little bit.
There always has to be a woman and a man in the relationship, and I guess you were just the woman.
Mm. Well, somebody got to make sure the bills are paid.
Somebody's got to do it, right?
Mm.
Jamesy, you stay so slim and trim. How do you keep your fabulous physique?
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. honestly, well, okay, I will put my weight out there. I weigh 190 pounds. When I was 18, I weighed 240 pounds.
I don't believe that you weigh 190.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't believe it.
Yeah,
like, you're really thin.
What do you believe?
How tall are you?
That The scale.
I thought you were
5'11".
I thought you would be like, you're 5'11"? If I looked at you, I'm not good at guessing weight, so I don't know why I'm even talking right now. But if I looked at you, I would think like 175, 180.
That's my goal. That's my goal
really?
Weight. Because, according to my doctor,
mm-hmm.
to my doctor, me at 190 pounds, I'm overweight.
You're not overweight.
According to my doctor,
like,
I'm
that's
overweight.
That's what bothers me.
So,
that's what bothers me about those doctors, quote-unquote, kind of thing. Because I'm like, that. I just can't, like, if you see James, if you haven't seen James, go to our website, he's on there. He's not overweight. Like, not even close. Not even a little bit. Like, you're a thin dude. So I'm kind of shocked that someone would say that to you. Like, what are you, I mean, I'm almost like,
what's
thin? Like, anorexic thin? Like, that's not appealing. Like, that's not good.
I know.
I know. Yeah.
So, like,
scary.
When I was 18, I weighed 340 pounds, and there's a picture mm-hmm. on my Facebook page, if you're friends with me on Facebook. It's me with the Easter Bunny when I worked at Walmart, and I weighed, you could tell I was heavier, a little bit heavier. But
mm-hmm.
then I went on the Walmart diet where you work 8 hours a day and you have two meals a day. And
mm-hmm.
I'd lost like 50 pounds really quickly. And I've just been able to keep it off. And I think it's mostly been because most of my jobs I've been active. I've been, you know, on my feet, walking around, moving around, all sorts of different stuff. So now that I'm, you know, still looking for a job and I'm home more and I'm not as active as I was, I'm kind of putting some of my weight back on.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm trying to keep it off. Like, I quit drinking soda.
Mm-hmm.
I drink water. And I'm trying to watch what I eat more as opposed to eating all the time.
Right. So we basically just need to get you a job so that you can get back to your active lifestyle and you can be slim, trim, and feeling great about yourself.
Mm-hmm. Basically. But also, my goal is to, once I start working again, I would like to join a gym. There's this,
mm-hmm.
there's a place out here called Paddle Boxing Club, and they do, it's like kickboxing, cardio, stuff like that. And I want to get into
that's
that
great.
To kind of tone up, because I'm confident in my body the way it is, but
mm-hmm.
I want to put on a shirt and show off my pecs.
Oh, you know
that's
how to
what
do
I
that?
Want to do.
It's so easy.
And
you
I
want to
have a flat stomach.
Get you a Total Gym. Go on Craigslist, and you could probably pick one up for like $25. And I'm telling you, like, that was the easiest time that I ever lost weight.
Mm-hmm.
And tone. Like, my arms, like, the T-shirts were tight around my arms because I had so much muscle. And
I know, that's what I want. I want muscular arms. Like, I don't want to be like He-Man, like, but I want to be, like, my ideal body image that I could see would be that of, like, Justin Timberlake, I guess. Like, the way he looks
mm-hmm.
half naked. With his biceps and his nice abs. And I want that. I would like that in my bed.
Okay.
You know, somebody that I could play with. But I would like that for myself, too. So, that's my ideal. my whole job thing, I posted on Facebook the other day of somebody who found their resume on CareerBuilders.com and
mm-hmm.
called me, tries to sell me up on this job, and a job that I'm not qualified for. I have no experience in sales, none at all.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted me to go door to door and try and sell, like, water testing to different residential people. I am not a salesman, and I am not a door-to-door person. I cannot go door-to-door to people. That's just not me. And then
mm-hmm.
he tells me that the position also requires me to have a master's degree. And I told him, I was like, well, if you look at my resume, it tells you what I have, what accomplishments I've done, and what my career background is. If you can look at my resume and not read my education spot where it says, you know, I have my diploma and whatever,
mm-hmm.
why are you looking at resumes online then? If you're not going to read all of my information before you call me, try to sell me on a job, and then basically tell me after I tell you that I don't qualify for this position because I don't have the experience that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me, oh, well, we can't hire you anyways because you don't have a master's degree.
Now, how did this person find you?
This person
found you and this person called you. You didn't go after them, right?
Exactly.
Well, then it's just stupidity.
I had never heard of this job. I've never heard of this company.
Mm-hmm.
They called me, left me a message. I looked them up and I called them back to find out what it was because they have an office that does customer service too. So I was thinking, okay, well, maybe it's like a customer service position. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I'll call them back. I call him, and he's trying to sell me on this. It's door-to-door sales, and you go house-to-house, and you try and sell people on getting water testing, and then you try and sell them on our equipment and whatnot to purify their water and clean it and da-da-da-da-da. And we want to have somebody that we can promote to a manager within the next 30 to 60 days, and you can't be a manager
mm-hmm.
if you haven't done the job and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm not a salesman. One, I'm not door-to-door salesman. No, thank you. Secondly, he tells me, he's like, well, you went to college, too. And I was like, no, I didn't. I haven't gone to school. Like, I graduated high school, and that was it because I started working. And, like, no. And he was like, oh, well, you have to have a master's degree for this position. And I told him, I was like, it shows you on my resume what diplomas I have. Like, you said you read my resume on CareerBuilders. Why wouldn't you see that? And he was like, oh, well, it must have just been an oversight. I apologize. Thank you for your time. And ended the call.
Oh, my God.
He was one of those people who, like, he was on a power trip. Like, he had a little bit of power, and he just, you know how some people, like, they're assholes for no reason just because they got a little bit of power. They feel like,
right.
Oh, you know, they own the moment, and it's like, dude, get a life.
Exactly. I've never done anything like that to an interviewee. Never, ever.
Never. I think that's so wrong. But you know what? I think I can throw that up
with the singing interview at FedEx.
Well, if it makes you feel better, Joe just went through it. He applied for a position, and it says, what's your minimum salary requirements? So he put his minimum salary requirements. They came back at this number that was just insane to me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, basically it was like just above minimum wage. And it's not like a minimum wage job. I'm like, these people don't look. They don't care.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what it is? The job market's so bad that they kind of have that mentality, like, you know, more people need a job than not, so I'm just going to be, like, if you want it, then this is what we're doing it for. Like, it's kind of sad, but true. You know?
Mm-hmm. And I hate that it's like that. And, you know, I didn't want to see myself in this situation where I was unemployed and, you know, going
mm-hmm.
on 2 months of being unemployed and still waiting for unemployment to finally send me a decision letter. Really?
I don't even understand that.
But, yeah.
Have you gone down to
no,
the office
okay,
and, like, applied in somebody's face?
No, here's the thing. You can't go to the office. They give you no address for the office. Like, when you mail stuff, it goes to a post office box. When you call,
mm-hmm.
it's a 1-800 number. It's not a local number, nothing like that. And it's basically, you call them. I sat on hold. I called them the other day to follow up with them because I hadn't received a letter yet. And when I called her, I was on hold for 45 minutes just to be on the phone with her for 2 minutes, long enough for her to say, oh, well, it takes up to 7 to 10 weeks after you initially file before a decision letter gets sent out. You're still in your
mm-hmm.
sixth week, so call back next Friday.
Oh, God.
If you haven't received your letter. And then we'll find out what's taking so long. But in the meantime, keep doing your weekly claim and doing that on every Sunday so that, you know, you're still claiming and we can still see that you're claiming and doing all of our requirements. They've yet to tell me how many employers I have to approach weekly. They never sent me any type of anything to write all these people that I'm applying to down because, you know, we're supposed to keep
mm-hmm.
a record of it. They've never sent me anything. to do any of that with. And it's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, I'm getting very agitated at it because it's like, this is money I could be using to pay my bills. Like, and another thing I don't understand about it is why it has to be a decision. When it's money that I've paid into it, why does my job, my previous employer, have the option to deny giving me the money that I've paid into it? I don't understand that. I don't think that's fair.
Well, I think you're with a lot of people. A lot of people don't think that that's fair. A lot of people get very upset with that kind of situation. And it's just the way it's set up. I don't know. I wish I had a better answer for you.
I just wish it was different. I wish it was different because it's like, it's kind of like Social Security and all that stuff where you pay into it and they take money out of your paycheck every 2 weeks to put into that so that you have that backup. You know, God forbid you ever need it, why is it that the company that you work for, just because you did one thing wrong or you did something that they didn't appreciate and they fired you over it, what is it that, why should they have the authority to be like, I'm sorry, you can't have this money?
Well, technically,
like, I don't agree with that.
But if you, in New York, now this was like 10 years ago when I was managing the sub shop, somebody put in for unemployment, and we had two options, either give it to them or deny them, but we had to rehire them, which was a little known fact, like most people didn't know. So we ended up rehiring the guy, so we weren't going to give him unemployment. So you should look into that as well, but I just don't understand why it takes so long. In New York, you wait a week.
Right.
Like you have a week.
I know that in Missouri, if I work full time, because my last job I worked full time. If I find a job and it's only part time, I can still claim unemployment while I'm working that part time job because it's not full time, and my last position was a full time position.
Interesting.
So I can still claim that to supplement my income if I'm to find a part time job sometime. But nobody wants to call me back, and I follow up with these people, and it pisses me off. It's like, what the fuck am I doing? What did I do wrong? What did I do that I deserve?
What kind of positions are you? You're still looking, right, for another job, or are you kind of just holding out for the unemployment?
I'm still looking.
Okay.
I'm still looking. Like I'm looking. I'm actively searching, and I'm applying for customer service positions. I'm applying for factory positions. I'm applying for package handler positions at UPS, and I'm applying. Like I'm trying to apply for everything that I think I could be qualified for. And even if I don't qualify for it, I'm still applying for them just because I can learn it. Like I can pick up on things fast. And the kind of position I want, preferably, would be one that I work days. I don't want to work nights. I hated working nights when I worked in retail. I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to find a position in those fields. If I can't find something, then I'll start looking in, like, the retail positions and going back to what I really know as opposed to what my goal would be.
Boo-boo, I asked you a couple of weeks ago, have you applied to McDonald's?
Yes, I have.
Recently? I'm not talking 5 years ago.
Recently? Yes, I applied at McDonald's like 3 days ago. Recently.
Burger King, Taco Bell, Wendy's, Arby's. Ain't got much to say.
Yes.
Hey, you're telling me no fast food place will hire you? Honey, then you got some job record problems.
No, you know what it is. When you interview, how do you feel when you interview? Do you feel like you do a good job? Do you get nervous? Because maybe it's the interview process. Maybe it's that you're kind of, do you feel like you get nervous at all?
No. I used to. Like, when I first started interviewing and stuff, like, when I first started working back in, like, 2006 and all that, like, I started interviewing and I was nervous. But now, I'm just like, you know what, I don't see a reason to be nervous. If they want me, they want me. If they don't, they don't. You know? Like, I just saw them on my on my experience and what I've done in the past, and hope that doesn't happen. And I try to show a little bit of my personality. I try to show, you know, where I would like to see myself in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I try when I go into interviews, I tell them, you know, this isn't just a fly-by-night paycheck where I'm going to work here for 2 weeks to get that money and then I'm going to be out. Like, I'm looking for some place that eventually, you know, God willing, Uncensored Radio gets picked up, but I'm looking for a job that I could eventually retire from. Like, I'm not just looking for something that's going to be my career for the next 3 years and then, oh, I'm gone because I found something better. Like, I want somewhere that I can call home, technically, because I'm going to be there more than I'm going to be at my house. So,
right, but honey, at some point you just got to take a job because it's a job.
Well, and I apply at places around here, and I think a lot of my issue is that when I've gone through, like, the job search and things like that before, I've exhausted all of the places around where I'm from. Like, between Grandview and the local cities that are around here, I've applied everywhere. And I think after a certain point when you've put in, like, that seventh application somewhere, I think that's when you should really be like, you know what, they don't fucking want me. I need to just keep going.
No, that's when you got to just keep going, because, I mean, reality is right now something's not clicking. Maybe you need to revamp your resume. Maybe you need to, you know, maybe you think you're not getting nervous, and maybe you are. I don't know. I mean, it could be a number of things, but I don't think you down yourself. I think you kind of just step back and change a few things. Maybe you need to revamp that resume. And honestly, when I would ever job hunt or do whatever, I had a resume that was written strictly to be for that field. Like, I had a resume that kind of, you know, catered to that field. If it was like, okay, it's something sales, you need to really push that you're really heavily into sales. If it's something different, then you really need to push you're really into this, you know. That was one of those things where it was like I felt like each resume needed to almost be tailored to the position I was applying for.
Right.
And
well,
that helps.
I've had people telling me.
I think because then, yeah, I think at that point, then they're like, oh, okay, perfect. This is the goal. This is what's going on. You know, it's one of those things.
Right. Well, and I've also had people telling me, you know what you should add to your resume? You should add that you do a radio show and try and get jobs at radio stations. And I'm like, I would, but I feel like what I do for is a little different.
You could totally get one, because I was looking online, like, and I was just checking out, like, radio description jobs. You could easily get one. There's actually quite a few, but the problem is you're going to have to move. You know,
yeah,
like, I feel like...
I mean, they've got radio stations in his hometown. Like, why would he move?
No, there are probably few. Like, I'd have to, if I wanted to get a radio station job, I'd have to move to a bigger city. Like, there isn't really any, like, Syracuse has, like, two.
There are radio stations all over. There's radio stations right in your city. You can apply
if you
start from the ground up. You don't apply for a producer position. You apply for the ground up position. You apply for the promotion street team position, and you work your way up, you know?
Oh, see, you don't know me.
Right.
But I'm talking, I mean, James, he,
no, I know.
This is the thing, he doesn't have, even producing for us, we're not on the national level as far as that goes. Like, you know what I'm saying? He could bring some of the numbers and go, look, we do this, we do that. But the reality is you just got to get in,
right.
You know? And I would not apply for those jobs. I would totally apply for them. And you never know. Maybe you get in front of someone and they're so impressed with you and you get, you know, you work your way up faster than you thought, or maybe they go, you know what, there is a position that I think you'd be better at, you know? But I think you apply, and I don't think you have to move. Like, that's just not realistic. Like, unless you're in a position or you're already going, okay, well, I'm going to move, and this is my goal, but you don't move just because you're looking for a job. You find a job where you live.
I just don't think, if he's saying he's put in applications all over, he got to move.
No, he needs to check himself, and he needs to check what he's putting out there. You don't move because you can't get a job. The job market's bad. And then also, maybe your resume is not that great. Or also, maybe when you get there, you know, you need to, you know, figure out something. You need to approach it differently. It doesn't mean you've got to move from your city. That's not realistic.
Move.
Well, and that's my ultimate goal, is to eventually leave Missouri. Like, I want to branch out. I want to go other places, and I want to live, you know, outside of my state. But
right. But right now, today, do
my
you
only
have
situation
money
right
to
now
move?
Is that I don't have money.
Exactly.
No, I don't. So, like, if I were to find a job that was out of state, they would have to pay relocation for me. Like, they'd have to pay for me to come out, put me up somewhere until I was able to get on my feet. That would be the only stipulation.
And
the
reality
them
of that
I
is it's
I can't
not going to happen.
I can't find a job. Right. But, yeah, it's like I'm not going to be able to find a job that's going to do that for me, where they're going to be like, oh, well, unless, like, I just incredibly sold them and they were like, you are the only person that we want for this job. We will do whatever we can to get you, which I doubt is going to ever happen. But
I wouldn't doubt it. But what I would say
is
in your position today, like, you would really have to come with a huge qualification in order for someone to go, boom, this is what it is. I'll fly you out. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's, those situations are few and far between. They don't do that for people who have the qualifications. Like, I have friends who are in the corporate world, and, you know, they'll get offered a job in a different city, in a different state. They're willing to relocate, and then they don't really offer them relocation money. Like, it's just the way that the economy is right now. So,
right.
I would revamp that resume immediately, because it sounds like whatever you're giving then is not making a big enough impression, especially if you're applying online.
Right.
That's your calling card, and obviously it's not connecting,
right,
and it's not getting attention, it's not doing what it needs to do. So, I would apply for some of those radio station jobs, because the reality is you do have experience, you know. And
I know.
Maybe you're not.
And it's weird because I never thought I'd ever have that experience.
Yeah.
I know, and it's weird.
I never
imagined.
Uh huh. You should at least be able to get in the door with the experience you've gotten with us. You should be able to get in the door on a promotional, you got to start crawling before you walk. So you got to just get in there and then prove yourself.
It's funny because when I was a teenager, like, one of our local radio stations out here, Mix 90.3, I used to know, like, the DJs. I would call into the radio show a lot. And one of the DJs knew my voice, or knew me by my voice. Like, all I'd have to do was say hi, and he'd be like, what's up, James? How you doing, man? And I'd sit on the phone with him for hours. And it got to a point where, like, I knew their promo team, like, I knew, because I'd go to their remotes all the time and everything, and, like, I knew all of them. And you'd think that I would have, you know, branched into that when I was, like, a teenager, like, before, you know, when I graduated high school and all that stuff. You think I would have gone into that then. But then it was, like, as I grew up, those people left the station, and I didn't really know anybody anymore. So,
right.
Like,
you can't worry about what happened. You're a teenager. You weren't looking for a career. When you're a teenager, you're just looking for fun. You're not looking for a career. I wouldn't worry about that. I would just figure out a way to revamp that resume, and I'd figure out a way to get noticed. And right now, the way that you apply for most jobs is online, so you need to make sure that resume is off the chain.
Right. Do you want to help me work on that?
I'm not the best at resumes, but I could definitely look at it, and I could probably give you some pointers. But we would just need to find one of the listeners, guys, if you're listening, you know, and you're good at doing resumes, maybe they get in touch with us. You can email us. I'll definitely look at it.
At unsocialradio@aol.com.
Exactly.
Yes, if you're a resume expert, email us at unsocialradio@aol.com, and I will delete my contact information, but I will email you my resume.
Exactly.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly.
I love you guys, but I don't need anybody calling my cell phone at 2 o'clock in the morning, so there we go.
Here's the thing. All they really have to do is Google you. It's out there.
That's scary. No, actually, I'm not that easy to find, though, because I Googled myself, and the only page I've been able to find is my Facebook page and my Twitter. Those are the only two that I've been able to find in Google.
You can pretty much find out what my bra size is on Google. It's kind of traumatic.
I think you're being a little.
What is the?
I think you're being a little.
What is your bra size,
Jeffrey?
Okay, I don't really have a bra, But I'm saying if I did,
maybe
you could
I'll
find
give you something from Victoria's Secret.
It pretty much says everything about me. It's kind of a little freaky. Like, I found, like, I Googled search, whatever. And, like, I found, like, stuff for our wedding registry. Like, there was some other page, which was not where we registered. There was, like, oh, looking for blah, blah, blah's register. I'm like, what the fuck?
Right.
What's funny is you Googled Jeff,
myself.
And that picture, the new uncensored picture with the rope around his neck is on.
Yeah.
That's the first picture that popped up.
And then it's all Power Rangers. Like, and I'm not even in the photo. I'm like, this is some bullshit. Like, now my name is forever attached.
There's a lot of pictures of me.
To Power, yeah, you.
You
and then there's some of Katrina.
Uh-huh.
Well, if you Googled, like, if you Googled the unscripted radio, because, you know, we used to be unscripted radio, if you Googled that and Google Images, it pulled up pictures of me from YouTube.
Oh, yeah, I've seen those, too.
That's funny.
That was the weirdest thing.
Of traumatic,
yeah.
Though. I have to say, like, it's a little weird, but I would totally be that person. Like, all these celebrities are like, I don't Google myself. Bitch, I'd be on that shit every other day because I'm so nosy. But then my problem is, you know, I get very offended.
Mm-hmm.
Not so much for myself, but when people, like, attack the show or you, one of you guys, I get really, like, on the offensive where I can't keep my mouth shut, and I kind of put them on blast. So it's kind of a bad thing, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just get too angry.
Oh.
Get too angry?
Angry. I hate to have
oh,
to cut
Lord.
A bit.
Well, it's kind of like,
you know.
It's kind of
you
like that defensive that friend, that defensive friend thing. Like, it's kind of like that defensive friend thing where you're like, bitch, you're talking about my friends.
Like, you could talk about me all you want, but you start talking about my people, and
right.
We're going to fucking throw down. Like, I'm going to rip your face off. It's just
right.
Like how it is. Like, I'm just that bitch. Like, you can say whatever the hell you want about me, but don't talk shit about my people.
That's funny.
Right.
I'm looking, I'm Googling Uncensored Radio, and you know how Allison always makes those keep calm and you know, whatever. But she did one, I think, that says keep calm and be on Team Uncensored Radio. Very cute. Sorry.
Nice.
No, it's totally fun to, like, Google ourselves, I think, for the show, you know. Like, I mean, for you, Karen, though, like, you're kind of all over the place. You know, you and Katrina both.
I do it every now and then just to, like, you know, just to kind of see, like, what. Because it changes, so I do it every now and then to kind of just see what's
going on. I don't ever see any, like, bad things about you or Katrina. So, like, you're very lucky in that sense. And I really do feel like, comparative to the good, there's way more good than there is the few little things. And all those little things that would be bad, you know, were like, oh, she said it was about the money, you know.
Right. I think at the end of the day, we're probably nice people. So it's like, we don't really have that many, like, bad stuff going around.
It's
interesting.
You would think Katrina
would,
though.
You think?
What's funny is, like,
than he is anything else. Like, I think
I
she's
found,
just all hype.
In Googling ourselves, I found pictures from, like, the reality shoot that I don't even know how the hell they got online.
Right. They find stuff. Like, it's crazy.
Why am
it
I cool posting them? Because, like, there's one of you that's, like, at the rental house or whatever, and I'm like, I don't even know who has that photo. You know what I mean? For it to even get out in the public.
Is it
and there
the
was,
one
like,
where
one
you're standing in the kitchen?
No, it was one
no,
that
I've
never
is.
Even seen.
If it's even posted on Facebook or Twitter, then it gets out in the world.
Right, but I'm like, who? I'm like, I must have maybe one of the crew or something had photos. I don't know if they took them or whatever and posted them. But I was just like, what the fuck? And I even found a few of me that I was like, huh? Like, where? I've never, what? They didn't even get my good side. Like, that's fresh.
How dare they? How dare they not get
that's
your good side?
I know. I've been releasing some stills from Uncensored Reality, but it's from the thing that I'm editing that I'm still working on. But yeah, I've been posting pictures just because I think the fans, like, it's been almost a year.
I know.
Like, it's been a long time.
Something.
And you know what, Chad? I'm pretty sure I'm the only one that's hair has changed. The girls look exactly the same.
Really?
7/8 a day. I look older, fatter, and my hair's all different.
it's usually
the girls that change their hairstyle. No, it'd be me. My hair's like all long and different now.
Mm.
It's a little
crazy.
It's not that long. We just saw you in March.
I know, right?
Yeah, I gained like 15 pounds back. I lost 15 pounds for the wedding. Whoopee! And it's all back. Well, not anymore, because I started losing it again. But, you know, it's just annoying.
It's fine. You just gotta buckle down. You just gotta, get refocused,
Well, what's funny is that we're talking about this, and like James was talking about being a fatty earlier. Jake was a fatty. I don't know if anybody else on the show has been a fatty. But Vin Diesel was on a Tonight Show with Jay Leno talking about how men have more pressure on them than women in Hollywood to stay in shape. And I was kind of like, what? And I'm like, this title has got to be wrong. Because when I read what he said, he didn't really say that. He was talking about steroids, and he was saying that his body's all natural. And that a lot of men turn to steroids to keep their body, you know, muscular and crazy the way that they have to because, you know, women get the plastic surgery on the face.
All
and
know,
they can't really do that.
All I know, his body can be all natural right up against mine. I would be very satisfied with that.
I just kind of thought it was interesting because we don't really hear many men talking about the pressure they have from Hollywood to stay in shape.
No, they do. Like, it's like, seriously, the A-list actors, I mean, you look at all of them, they have mad pressure. Like, it's, you gotta be thin, or you gotta have six pack, you gotta do a lot of things. It's one of those things.
Yeah.
I feel it's so much easier for men, though, because look at how many overweight men there are in Hollywood. Maybe not leading actors, but maybe TV-wise, versus overweight women. Like, we've got one. Her name's Melissa McCarthy, and she's one of the funniest chicks on TV.
Right.
I love her.
She's amazing.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
She is.
Mhm. She's amazing, and it's like she is undeniably funny. Like undeniably, you put her in a scene, and you better watch out. You better show up, otherwise, it's all her. Like I bet actors who act with her go, she makes me a better actor because she's gonna show up. She's gonna bring her funny, and you
really
hold on.
Who you know that's acting with her? Can they like 6 degrees
like,
from separation?
Actors, like. All the people who've been in movies with her have been on TV shows with her.
And you know them, and we can't get her on the show?
I didn't say I know them, but I know that's how they would feel. Like, you're going to be in a scene with Melissa McCarthy, and you're not going to get shown up. I would think the inner actor in you would want to
like,
be, like, on
her level.
Is
this bitch holding out on me again?
Oh,
wait,
God, get over
wait
yourself.
Wait to mishear her, Jeffrey. Nate, wait
God,
to mishear
what?
Her.
Like, so misheard. Like, I'm
almost,
like, huh? What?
I know.
Like, I didn't know what he was talking
and
about.
And I almost
like,
said...
What are you talking
about? Yeah. And I almost said May to Miss Weir her, because my tongue was messed up for a minute.
Uh-oh.
Wait, what? English?
I got tongue-tied.
I didn't know
tongue-tied.
You spoke foreign languages.
That's what I meant to say.
God damn.
Oh, I do. I do. I do speak other languages. I speak tired. I speak hungry.
I would like to learn Swahili.
You would like to learn what?
Really?
Swahili.
Swahili?
Yeah, because
that's
just funny. It's funny sounding, just the name.
Oh.
You know.
But my question
is,
how is that going to come in handy in your everyday life?
It's not, but it'd just be funny to learn because nobody'd know what the hell I was talking about. And then they'd be like, what are you speaking Swahili? And I could be like, as a matter of fact, I am.
Well, if you just jibber jab, then nobody knows what the hell you're talking about. So what's the difference?
Because I actually know Swahili. And I could say without lying, yes, as a matter of fact, it is Swahili.
Jeffrey,
like,
we can't get you to, like, come up with topics. What makes you think you're going to learn Swahili?
Hey, I just gave you Vin Diesel, and you didn't want to do nothing with it. It's not my fault.
No, Vin Diesel. Oh, actually, I love Vin Diesel. And tonight I will be seeing the, right after I get off with you guys, I'm going to the screening of Fast and the Furious. So
I
will report back and let you know how great that movie is.
And it makes me mad at a certain...
Can you take pictures of him shirtless for me?
He's not going to be here. It's just like a screening. But if he shows up, I will make sure.
No, I'm just saying, can you take some bootleg pictures of him on screen?
No, you know what? This is funny that you bring that up. They will not let you, if you pull out your cell phone, you'll be escorted out of the theater because, you know, like, it doesn't come out until tomorrow. So they don't want anybody, like, recording it, taking pictures of it, you know. You can't, like, it's like you got to look forward and just enjoy the movie. Like, you can't do nothing in that movie theater because it's an advanced screening. And then they said, well, just take your phone away or you'll be escorted out. Like, it's serious. It doesn't come out until tomorrow. Like, I'm seeing it a whole day early.
I hate you just a little bit.
How do you feel?
Yikes. I thought you were on my side, James.
You're
no
lost. You've lost a few friendship points, just saying.
Oh! Damn!
But you guys both earned like 3,000 friendship points, you know, earlier this week, but that's a different story. So you're not hurting for friendship points from me, just saying.
Well,
you can afford
two or three. You know who's losing a lot of friendship points?
Who?
Across the country, Amanda Bynes.
Oh, yes, she is.
Because according to a new report, sources at a Teterboro airport in New Jersey told TMZ that the troubled actress tried to board a private jet to Los Angeles, California last week, but was rejected for having no form of ID whatsoever. Who told the pilot her driver's license has been suspended, couldn't fathom how a celebrity such as herself could get rejected over identification and asked that the pilot Google her. According to TMZ, she also screamed, "I'm Amanda Bynes," as if it wasn't clear by that point, but to no avail, she was not allowed to fly.
I love it. I love it when the celebrities scream, "Do you know who I am? I'm Amanda Bynes." Like, I love it. Because didn't What's-Her-Name do that a couple weeks ago when she got caught with a DUI, her husband got caught? Like, do you know who I am?
Oh, what's her butt? The girl from, Reese Witherspoon.
Yes. I love it.
Wow.
I love it when they do that. I love it. It just makes my heart go pit her pat.
I know, and it just makes you think, wow, you are too into yourself. Like,
I guess somebody's got to be.
God.
Like, it almost comes to the point where it's like, you know, somebody's got to be into themselves. But what's funny, that Reese Witherspoon one was hilarious because she was like, I'm an American citizen. Do you not know who I am? And then the whole while her husband's like, you're making it worse. You need to be quiet. Chill out. You're really making it worse. Like, he lost his buzz. You could tell where he was probably drunk, and then he lost his buzz because she was being so ridiculous, and he's like, really, be quiet. You are making it worse. And she's like, do you know who I am? I'm an American citizen. And I don't know what that means. Like, most of us are American citizens. Like, I don't know what that means. Like, how that makes it better. Oh, but it was great. I love Reese Witherspoon. Gotta love her.
Maybe she was going, I'm an American citizen, meaning I know my rights.
She didn't say that. She just kept saying she's an American citizen. I don't know if she... I think it was that sense of entitlement. Like, it kind of reared his ugly head. Like,
well, and she was and drunk.
Yeah. They were both drunk.
Yeah.
Like, and this, I think it's just, you know, when you're drunk, ugly things come out. I don't even think it's that. I just think when you're drunk, I mean, it could have been anybody, but, you know, I think when you're drunk, you just do stupid shit. But speaking of being drunk,
like
and
host
doing
a radio show.
Shit, yeah, exactly.
Like
and put your foot in your mouth constantly. Yeah. Do you not know who I am? Like, hello, you Google me and Power Ranger pictures show up. Duh.
Duh. I know people. We know people.
Oh, Scotty, too hotty. Katrina just chases everybody away. But apparently...
That's why he said the entire 6 months we knew him, or however long he was around. We know people! Like,
no,
stop.
His actually thing was, we fucking know people.
Yeah. Oh,
I was like, well,
man.
Correction. Some of us know people. I'm not sure that you do. But there's a new report that Justin Bieber is now, basically, if you want to party with Bieber, you have to sign a privacy contract.
I would do that. That's smart on his behalf because he's got so much bad press right now, he has to be careful.
Well, apparently, Bieber's camp has drafted up a contract for everyone who enters the Star's Mansion to sign. And it says that other celebrities have done this, but Bieber's worth noting. The documents say those entering the private residence must know they are responsible for themselves while partaking in potentially hazardous activities. All information regarding said activities, such as the physical health or psychological, spiritual, or other views or characteristics of the Biebs and guests, is considered private. Any photos or videos taken are confidential information. Blocking, tweeting, or Instagramming these photos could result in a $5 million lawsuit. And it's saying that in January, Bieber had photos of what appeared to be him smoking pot. They leaked, and it led to a kind of crazy media frenzy. The singer tweeted about growing and learning and trying to be better, but the pot debacle led to a series of unfortunate events, including a Twitter meltdown, the worst birthday ever, running with paparazzi, and reported low ticket sales, and then ending with some booing at the Billboard Music Award.
Yeah.
Ooh,
the thing about him is he's at that age where life is just, it's almost like you can't really, Britney Spears went through it, Lindsay Lohan's still going through it. Most of the people kind of go through that phase where they're going to, like, party, they're going to rebel, they're going to do crazy stuff. He might have a little bit of an asshole side to him because, he's obviously started really young. He's filthy rich, and it's just, the image that they gave him, is really clean-cut, clean kind of guy. So it's almost like, okay, I'm not so clean-cut. I'm not really that kid.
Well, maybe
and
he
so,
was back then.
Right, but he's at that age where I think it's normal for him to kind of do what he's doing. Like, I'm not saying it's normal for you to go smoke weed, but that's what he's choosing to do. He's at the age of 18, and he does have a marijuana license.
Probably trying marijuana. They're probably sneaking drinks. I mean, that's what you do at 19. God knows I did it all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I don't know why anybody expects or parents get upset because it's like, well, what did you do at that age? So how can you get pissed? Like, it's not his fault that he's doing it.
And
we can't think, though.
Yeah,
but I'm so sick of hearing you need to be a role model. It's such bullshit. If your parents were doing their job, they wouldn't have to worry about a singer being a role model to their children. Because everybody makes mistakes, and it just makes me sick. And I do love what he said, though, and I thought it was one of the most honest things that I've read. He said, I get good vibes from people all the time, and I probably could get along with them and be their friend, but now I just don't trust anybody. He said, literally, my phone never rings. I have only, four people that I keep in contact with. I don't need a bunch of friends to make me happy. I just need the people close to me that I love. That's all.
Amen to him. I actually am happy for him because it's really sad. Because the thing is this. I think he'd realize that there are a lot of people around him that are only around him. Like, it's a different way. Because, when we were younger, we didn't have TMZ. We didn't have, you couldn't go and sell a picture. I'm sure the person who gave that picture probably got a little money, especially with Justin Bieber smoking weed. So he probably looked around his group of friends and realized, most of these people aren't my friends. Most of these people don't care about me. Most of these people, if some money was pulled out, they would throw me under the bus in 2.2 seconds. So it's good that he's kind of taking you know, kind of taking, you know, attendance and going, okay, you're my friend, okay, you're not. Okay, you're my friend, okay, you're, okay. So if you're going to be around me, you need to sign this paper, because if anything leaks, I'm suing you for everything you don't have.
Exactly.
You really don't have $5 million, but it will definitely scare someone when they go, oh, I'll give you, you know, $10,000 for that picture, and you go, you know you're going to be sued for it. You know.
No, I think it's way more than that. Way more. For him doing stuff like that, I think it's more like $50,000 at minimum.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Probably.
It's just crazy.
Probably. Yeah, it's sad, though. It's really sad that he's, like, I feel sorry for him. Like, I felt bad for him when he got booed. Like, the look on his face on the Billboard Awards, I was kind of like, why is he getting booed? Like, what has this kid really done that's so bad? Like, he's, you know, he's a kid. He's 18, 19 years old. Like, he's smoking weed. Who cares? He's partying. Who cares? You know, his friends are driving around being stupid. They crash his car or they're, like, speedy. But he's not ever there. Like, he's never been the one who was behind the wheel doing that.
Well,
you know?
He did get a bunch of tickets over in Europe somewhere. I can't remember where. But there was, like, he got, in one day, handful of tickets.
Imagine you, 19, with a Lamborghini. What would you have done?
Well, I'm not saying that I would
have.
But I'm just saying, what I'm not saying is, why is this kid booing? But people, I mean, they're still accepting Lindsay Lohan. Britney Spears, I don't remember anything she did. Like, if anything, that bitch should have got booed off the stage at that VMA Awards where she did Gimme More. And nobody booed her. And they were showing, like, people like Rihanna, they showed, like, P. Diddy, and everybody was just kind of looking up, like, like, everybody was kind of horrified for her.
Right. I know. You know what
but
it was?
But nobody booed her.
I think at the end of the day, like, we all love Britney. Like, you love her. She's country. She's talented. She's made a career on, you know, lip syncing. She's got great hits.
I think
hits.
She
like,
was
she's got
talented.
Great hits. No, I think she's still talented.
Well,
I just think that her style of singing is not what's popular right now. Like,
no,
the tide is changing.
Her singing was never that great. But then, you know, I mean, we actually talked about it, though, the other day. When we were talking, I was bringing up Diana Ross and the Supremes, and I'm like, she's really not even that great of a singer. So I just was kind of, you know, I was never really into her.
Yeah.
And, like, if you go back to, like, the 50s and 60s and 70s and even the 80s, a lot of the people that were big acts were not even great singers. You know, think of some of your best 80s groups, like Tiffany. I mean, they're not strong singers. They're not that great. Like, the Cover Girls, which I love, they weren't really great singers. They're all nasally, the 50s people. They were not great.
It was that kind of style. Like, you know,
yeah,
that was what was good.
Right time,
to us.
Right place.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like Britney's thing was she was a dancer, and that's what she was good at. And since she blew out her knee, she really hasn't been able to dance like she used to could. And I think, you know, so for me, it's
used to could.
You know, that's kind of an issue. I feel like she's probably going to end up the way Madonna is, where Madonna's barely hanging on to relativity at this point. Like, that bitch is trying, and it's not working. Like, nobody really cares anymore. And I feel like she's really pissed people off because of the way she treats people. Like, it's no longer a secret that she's a bitch. She's a major bitch. She's cheap, and she's just not a nice person. And I think people, that does matter to people. Same thing with Mariah Carey. I don't feel like she's a great person, and people are kind of over her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can't act like a diva bitch forever and think that that's going to be okay. Like, people are going to get sick of your shit.
Well, I think what it is, it's just that entitled, like, they kind of have this little air about them. You know, like they said, what was it, the Billboard Awards that Madonna was on recently? I didn't see this part.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the whole award show.
I didn't either.
She fussed more about the mic than she actually did. You know, said anything about, you know, she was doing an acceptance speech. And she kept talking about the mic and it not being right and blah, blah, blah. Like, it was kind of like, get over yourself and get to your speech, lady. You know, and I think you're right. We've caught too many times a little thing that Madonna does where she kind of feels that entitlement, you know, or she kind of you know, I don't know.
Well,
it's kind of that
again,
whole thing.
It goes back to, like, Michael Jackson and Whitney. Like, when somebody says the same thing about you for 20 years, odds are it's true. And when everybody's saying the same thing about you, it's true. You're the problem. I mean, she did it with the hydrangea thing. You knew that was it for me. Like, I mean, I stopped liking her music when she switched over to, like, the techno thing. That was kind of it for me. But what really put the nail in the coffin was the hydrangea thing. Like, I thought that was so fucking rude of her. Like, it was just beyond comprehension to me. And I'm like, at that point, we're done. Like, I'm not supporting you. I don't care if I like any music you come out with now. I'm not buying your shit. I'm not going to spend $250 to go to your concert.
You're talking about?
She was in a press conference or whatever, and some fan brought up flowers to her, and they were hydrangeas, and she turned to whoever was sitting next to her, and was like, and it was
she
still
didn't know
here,
her
you could hear
her. He didn't
and
know her mic was on.
She's like, I absolutely loathe hydrangeas. And then she said some other shit, like I don't even remember what it was at this point, because it was like a couple of years ago or whatever. And I was just like, you know what? You are such a rotted bitch. Like, that flowers are not cheap. It's not like he brought you some, you know, one of those really cheap carnations. You know what I'm saying? It cost him like $10.
Right.
That stack of hydrangeas was probably good, you know, $50, $60. Like, they're expensive. So for her to be like that, I just think it's shitty. Like, you can go and make fun of him after the fact when, you know, you're in a private moment. But you're still sitting on stage with a mic in front of you. People can read lips. What the fuck are you doing?
Right. Well, she kind of turned and she, like you said, she kind of spoke to them, but she didn't know her mic was on and they heard her. Like, AK, but you didn't hear her.
You
in the
should
place,
know better.
But you heard her.
You should know
you,
better.
Like, the news, because you know, like, those mics when you're at a press conference, it's all wired to all of the news outlets. So the minute you talk, all the news outlets get the same sound, they get the same thing. So she didn't know the mic was already on and she said that. And, like, all the news
but
outlets
she
got her
should
saying,
know better.
And they were like,
you've been doing
oh.
this for how fucking long? You know better. She knew better.
Yeah,
she just
she
doesn't
should've.
Care anymore.
She should have. Like it.
And then
it,
she comes out with the wackiest shit ever. That last song, you and I were making fun of it, that she did at the Super Bowl there with Nicki Minaj or whoever the hell it was, that I don't even remember, but it sounded like a preschool song. Like, whoever told her that she could write music lied to her face. Because
well,
she's
you know
not good at it.
Now she's picking, like, she's doing her own thing. Like, you forget when you first get assigned to a record label.
I understand that. I get it.
You get assigned an A&R director, and that person, or you're assigned, like, major producer, and they really kind of mold you. They really try to go, you need to do this kind of song. You got to do this kind of song. And as artists get bigger and bigger and bigger, then they get a mind of their own, and they go, oh, now I'm doing the songs that I've always wanted to do. And some artists, it turns out to be better. Like, you look at Pink. Like, when she first came out,
right.
they tried to really make her be R&B. And not that she didn't like singing that kind of music, but she's more rock with R&B vocals. Like, sometimes, you know, she's like, I can hit those notes, I can do those runs, but I'm a rock chick, you know? And so, for her, it was better for her as an artist to be herself.
Right.
Sometimes you get these people, they start picking their own songs, and they're horrible at it. They
well,
don't know
you
how
look
to
at
hit.
Madonna, Kelly Clarkson, ever since she got Control, like that My December album, that they were like, oh, blah, blah.
That
I mean, it was horrible.
Really, still really good. It's still really good, Jess. Like, she's still selling out.
It is.
You don't like her, but she's
I
doing
love it.
Well.
I loved Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah,
I loved her.
Too.
That one album was horrible. Like, there wasn't a single. Well, she's had a few. The singles have been okay, but the rest of the album suck. Like, that one album that she came out with, you know, with all the breakup songs or whatnot, that whole album was great. But since then, it's like, no thanks.
I love
off the path.
Which album?
I love
because I have every single one of her records. So which album are you talking about?
The last
one.
I liked her last album. I don't always like the whole album on any artist. It's very rare I'm going to like every single song. But I like at least 5 songs on that album, and that's a winner for me.
It just didn't do as well as it should have. Now, Pink, though, that bitch could sing the alphabet, and I'd be in like, her voice is amazing to me. She's an amazing performer, and she has great songs. Like, she's a great writer. And I feel she's really underappreciated in America. Like, she's really, really, really huge in Australia. And in America, she's just kind of, like, you know, like, everybody knows who she is, but she's not really that huge.
Ooh. Man, look at how time flies when you're having fun. Go,
Booyah.
Go.
You make me sick.
Job done. Job well done.
There you go.